Hosea chapter 2. In chapter 1, the Lord commanded Hosea to marry a prostitute and to name his children names that show that Israel is acting like a spiritual prostitute toward the Lord because Israel is following false gods. Hosea's life has become a metaphor of the spiritual demise of Israel. Now in this chapter, the Lord is going to explain how God sees Israel. 1. Say to your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhama. Ami means my people. Ruhama means the one who has been spared. Israel has been God's people, and he has spared Israel time and time again from being overtaken by the pagan nations. But very soon, he's going to let the pagan nations overtake Israel because of all of their sins that they refuse to repent of. Secular scholars claim that in the Bible, the Israelites were commanded to worship many gods, and this is the epitome of blasphemy. Because when you read the Bible for yourself, you see that there is only one God, and the Israelites were always punished when they turned to paganism. The one true God always said that those gods can't see, can't hear, can't speak, and they can't do anything because they're made of wood and silver and gold and stone. When you worship a pagan god, you're just worshiping demons. Don't believe those scholars who lie about God's word and claim that polytheism was part of the Israelites' religion, because it never was. But just like Christians today, the Israelites wanted to have one foot in the Lord and the other foot in sin. That's how a lot of Christians live today. They want to claim the promises in the Bible and claim salvation for themselves, but they don't want to actually obey the Lord and only follow him. They follow entertainment and sensual pleasures. 2. Plead ye with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, and she turneth her whoredoms from before her, and her adulteries from between her breasts. All throughout the Bible, physical adultery always represents spiritual idolatry, which is when, instead of worshiping the one true God, we worship other gods. That's just like a wife who, instead of only being for her husband, she goes and sleeps with other men. The Lord tells Hosea, plead with your mother. Mother here means Israel. The Lord is telling Hosea to go and speak to the people, Israel. Female always represents many. The Lord is personifying Israel as a woman in this verse. And the Lord says, she's no longer my wife because she sleeps with other men. I'm going to disown her. The Lord is making a metaphor that just like in a marriage where an adulterous woman would be divorced, the Lord has a right to spiritually divorce from Israel and not protect Israel or give Israel salvation anymore because Israel follows false gods. 3. Lest I strip her naked and have set her up as in the day of her birth, and have made her as a wilderness, and have set her as a dry land, and have put her to death with thirst. When we read the book of Jeremiah, the Lord made a metaphor that he had found Israel when she was a baby, and she had been discarded. She was covered in blood and mucus because nobody cleaned her off. Nobody swaddled her and took care of her. But God found her like a baby in her own blood, and he cleaned her and swaddled her and nurtured her. And then when she grew into a woman, he put clothing on her and he made her his wife. Now, none of this is sexual. This is all metaphor dealing with relationships. Now the Lord is saying that he's going to put Israel back in the wilderness where he found her. Because in Jeremiah, the metaphor was that he found a baby that had been born and then tossed out like the trash. And he says, I'm going to put her back in the wilderness where she came from, and take off the clothing that I had put on her. In the New Testament, we're told to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're also told that those who follow Jesus will be wearing white robes of righteousness in heaven. But here the Lord is going to strip the clothing off of Israel. He had put a clothing of righteousness on Israel, but now he's going to take it away because of their sins. This is the opposite of the metaphor that we saw in Jeremiah. 4, and her sons I do not pity, for sons of whoredoms they are. The Lord says, the children of Israel are illegitimate children. They're raising their kids to practice paganism. So it's just as if a wife sleeps with other men and then has children with other men and brings them into the home. Now this is what happened to Hosea. His prostitute wife kept practicing prostitution, and his three children are not his own, literally. This is a metaphor for the children of Israel not belonging to the Lord, and this is because their parents teach them paganism. 5, for gone a whoring hath their mother, acted shamefully hath their conceiver, for she hath said, I go after my lovers, those giving my bread and my water, my wool and my flax and my oil and my drink. In polytheism, you always attach one false god to one thing that you have. So there's a god of wheat and a god of fruit and a god of water, a god of river, and all of these things. Israel, by practicing paganism, was giving credit for all of its blessings to all these different gods. And Israel was so belligerent over the generations about its sin and following idols, just like there are Christians today who are very belligerent about their sin. They believe that they have a license to sin. They are once saved, always saved. They said the salvation prayer. They got baptized in church. So they believe that they can sin for the rest of their lives and that they're guaranteed heaven. And this isn't true. We see in both the Old and the New Testament that you can lose your salvation. And Jesus said, those who continue in sin, on judgment day, he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, which means they were never saved. A lot of people have false doctrine and a false conversion, and they believe that they're Christians when they actually aren't. 6, therefore, lo, I am hedging up thy way with thorns, and I have made for her a wall, and her paths she doth not find. Israel is going to find itself hedged in among the pagan nations. 7, and she hath pursued her lovers, and she doth not overtake them, and hath sought them, and doth not find. And she hath said, I go, and I turn back unto my first husband, for better to me than now. The Lord is going to let Israel feel adversity. He's going to let Israel get tormented by the pagan nations until Israel is willing to turn back to the Lord and stop sinning. Now, this is going to happen with Hosea's wife as well later in the book. She is going to get tormented by her customers to the point that she's willing to return to Hosea. 8, and she knew not that I had given to her the corn and the new wine and the oil, yea, silver, I did multiply to her, and the gold they prepared for Baal. The Lord says, the children of Israel didn't even know that all of their blessings came from me. I'm the one who gave them the corn and the wine and the silver. And they took the silver and they used it to adorn their Baal statues. When one generation sins, it teaches the other generation to sin, and it teaches the other generation paganism. You know, there's Christians today who are living like pagans, and their lives really are paganistic lives. They go to church on Sunday and they say amen at the dinner table, but they follow sports, they watch sexually explicit things in movies, they listen to music that's sexually explicit, they follow all the latest fads and trends that honor the devil. But they still believe that they're Christians simply because they go to church. This is how the Israelites were living. They thought that they were saved because they were called Israelites, and they knew their history, and they knew that God had brought them to that land. So they just figured, we don't need to follow him. We're guaranteed salvation. We can go ahead and worship pagan gods now. And that's how Christians live today. They feel like they have it made in the shade and they don't have to obey the commandments of the Lord. But we see here and in many other places in the Bible that when you turn back to your sin, the Lord separates from you and you're no longer his. 9. Therefore do I turn back, and I have taken my corn in its season, and my new wine in its appointed time, and I have taken away my wool and my flax, covering her nakedness. Back then they made clothing with flax as well as wool. The Lord says, I'm going to withhold all of my blessings. Their corn is not going to ripen. The wine is going to go bad, or the grapes won't ripen, and there will be shortages of wool and flax so that they don't have these blessings anymore because they kept honoring fake gods for all of this stuff that I was doing for them. 10. And now do I reveal her dishonor before the eyes of her lovers, and none doth deliver her out of my hand. Israel is going to be given over to her lovers, which are the pagan nations, and the pagan nations are going to take advantage of Israel and harm Israel. But this will be to help Israel come to the end of her sins. 11. And I have caused to cease all her joy, her festivals, her new moon, and her Sabbath, even all her appointed times. This is in the 6th century BC. It's before Ezekiel and Daniel. It's talking about a time when Ezekiel and Daniel are alive. That's the 70-year captivity of Israel. So they can't celebrate the festivals that the Lord gave to them when Moses was alive, because they're going to be scattered. This is a prophecy of that 70-year exile of the Israelites. Female is not negative in the Bible. It simply means many. Israel is personified here as a female, but the Lord isn't angry with her because she's female. She's female because she's many. He's angry with her because she sins and practices paganism. She's personified as female because female ois means many, and male ois means one. That's why God is male, and he's never female. One is the leader over many, and God is the leader over all of the people that he has created. 12. And made desolate her vine and her fig tree, of which she said, a gift they are to me that my lovers have given to me, and I have made them for a forest, and consumed them, hath a beast of the field. Israel gave credit for its vineyards and its fig trees to the pagan gods. And the Lord says, because they didn't give credit to me and didn't thank me for these things, I'm going to let the wild animals ravage these fields and orchards. 13. And I have charged on her the days of Balaam, to whom she maketh perfume, and putteth on her ring and her ornament, and goeth after her lovers, and me forgat, an affirmation of Jehovah. The Israelites had been honoring the god Baal. They were using perfume and ornaments to adorn themselves for the god of Baal instead of honoring the Lord. Sometimes Christians do this too. They go out of their way to party at Halloween time or to decorate a Christmas tree, which is really a pagan ornament, but they are very careless about how they follow the laws of God. They don't read the Bible. They don't pay attention to what God wants. That's all on the back burner of their lives, and they don't put much thought into it. But when it comes to celebrating the pagan holidays, they go all out and spend hundreds of dollars and hours of time in preparation. A lot of Christians don't even know that those holidays are pagan, so they might be doing it in ignorance. But the point is, we should spend a lot more time reading the Bible and examining our lives and asking ourselves, am I really following Jesus or am I just following society, blindly doing what everybody else does? 14. Therefore, lo, I am enticing her and have caused her to go to the wilderness, and I have spoken unto her heart. 15. And given to her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor, for an opening of hope. And she hath responded there, as in the days of her youth, and as in the day of her coming up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord says that when Israel repents of its sins, he is going to begin to restore it. So after that 70-year exile, the Lord is going to start bringing the Israelites home. 16. And it hath come to pass in that day an affirmation of Jehovah, thou dost call me my husband, and dost not call me any more my Lord. Now we still call God Lord, but it's saying, I'm going to be more to you than just a God. I'm going to be your husband. And in the New Testament, it says that Jesus is our husband. So it's all about relationships. This is spiritual metaphor. And by saying that he is going to be her husband, it means that she is going to be totally dependent on him and him alone spiritually. Because when you have a husband, you're not supposed to be dating or seeing anyone else. You're totally committed to your husband and you live in his house and he takes care of you. Israel will again look to God as Israel's only provider and only hope. 17. And I have turned aside the names of the gods from her mouth, and they are not remembered any more by their name. When the Israelites returned after the 70-year exile, they didn't even mention the names of those false gods that their ancestors had worshipped, because just mentioning those names was dishonoring to the Lord. Now, this is the same principle as a woman, for instance, who cheats on her husband, but then when she comes back home and she repents and wants to be with him, she doesn't mention the names of her past lovers anymore. Because even if she mentioned their names, it would be an insult to the husband in his home. The Lord says, you're going to be so loving toward me and so spiritually dependent on me that you won't even want to offend me by mentioning the names of the false gods. 18. And I have made to them a covenant in that day with the beast of the field and with the fowl of the heavens and the creeping thing of the ground, and bow and sword and war I break from off the land and have caused them to lie down confidently. During the 70-year exile, the animals and the insects are going to take over Israel because there won't be hardly any people living there. The people are going to be sparse. The wild animals are just going to run rampant through the land. But he says when he causes his people to return, he's going to make a covenant with the animals and all the varmints and critters, and he's going to tell them to go away. God himself is going to clear the wild animals off of their farms and their pastures so that they can live there again. 19. And I have betrothed thee to me to the age, and betrothed thee to me in righteousness and in judgment and kindness and mercies. The Lord says that when he brings his people home again, he's going to betroth them. Betrothal isn't marriage, it's before marriage. And the Christian life is a life of betrothal, meaning that we are engaged to Jesus and we cannot violate that engagement by going back to sin and worshiping our false idols like rock stars, movie stars, sports stars, the financial market. But when you're betrothed to the Lord, you only worship him and you only honor him. The wedding ceremony is going to take place when Jesus returns to get his bride. But right now, we're betrothed to Jesus. Just like an engagement, where we have to be true to him during the entire engagement. And then when he returns, he'll take us up in the sky. If you consider yourself a Christian, don't break that betrothal. The Lord is saying that he is going to be engaged with Israel once again. 20. And betrothed thee to me in faithfulness, and thou hast known Jehovah. The Lord says, when we're betrothed again, you're going to know me and you're going to be faithful to me. So after that 70-year exile, when the Israelites returned, they returned slowly in small numbers at first, but they returned in faith. They were completely on fire for the Lord when they returned, and he was their only God. They didn't want any false gods. They had lived in the pagan lands for 70 years, and they were utterly sick of the pagan gods and didn't want to have anything to do with them anymore. Now, this is going to happen to Hosea's wife. Eventually, she's going to return to him, and she isn't going to want her clients anymore. 21. And it hath come to pass in that day, I answer an affirmation of Jehovah. I answer the heavens, and they answer the earth. 22. And the earth doth answer the corn, and the new wine, and the oil, and they answer Jezreel. 23. And I have sowed her to me in the land, and I have pitied Lo Ruhamah, and I have said to Lo Ami, my people thou art, and it saith, my God. The Lord says, when you return, Israel, I will tell the heavens, and the heavens will repeat the command to the earth that the corn and the wine and the oil is to start being produced again on the earth. He's going to command the rain to fall and the sun to shine. And then he's also going to command the grapes to grow and the olives to grow and the corn to grow. And in the land of Jezreel, they will again have abundant crops. The Lord also says, you will belong to me in the land, and I will have pity on you, Lo Ruhamah. That's the name of Hosea's daughter, and that means you have not been spared. Lo Ami is the name of Hosea's son, and it means you are not my people. He's going to say, you have been called Lo Ruhamah and Lo Ami, but I'm going to change all that. You're going to belong to me again, and I am going to be the only God that you worship. We'll see how this unfolds in Hosea's life in the next chapters. And that concludes Hosea chapter 2.